to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
For the last couple of months, we have been looking at individual studies on Wednesday nights that have to do with prayer, but not so much teaching about prayer, of which there's a lot. You know, Jesus did a lot of teaching on prayer and was a great example. And there's other instructions about prayer in God's Word. But the focus of this particular series of studies is on using God's Word to guide our prayers. All right? We know that God always answers prayer. He doesn't always answer the way we want Him to, because He's God and He knows what's best for us. But we do know that if we pray according to God's will, John says He hears us and He answers. And so praying according to God's will more closely and accurately aligns our prayers with, praying according to God's word more closely and accurately aligns our prayers with God's will. So we started out with a session called Praying God's Word, where we laid out some basic foundations about how do we take God's word and meditate on it and then pray based on what we've learned from God's word. And then we talked about praying God's priorities, praying for God's messengers, praying in crisis, praying for forgiveness and restoration. And last week we talked about praying at the end of your rope. So if you missed any of those, except for last week, you can listen to them online. Last week we had a little bit of glitch with the recording, okay? But tonight we're going to talk about praying with thanksgiving. Praying with thanksgiving. So let me start with this question. What is the importance, or is it important, and if it is, what is the importance of including thanksgiving in our prayers? Vita. Okay, yes, we need to thank God for all He's done for us, past, present, and future. That's true. But what is the importance of including thanksgiving in our prayer? Janet.
Having a heart of gratitude. Having
a heart of gratitude. You know, we don't like it when people aren't grateful to us for what we do. I mean, how bad would that be to be ungrateful to God? Okay, what other thoughts come to mind when you think about the importance? Chris? It's an important... Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were through. Go ahead. Okay, it's an important part of having a relationship with God, that we don't just treat Him, as you said, like a genie in the bottle or a vending machine. Push the right button so you can get out what you want. You know, we're in a relationship and He does something for us and we want to say thankful. I saw Linda first and then Catherine. Linda. It gives Him the glory for what He's done for us. He deserves it. Yeah. Catherine. All right. Yes, it helps us with our humility, which we definitely need. Yes. Joan? It is pleasing to Him. Yeah. Carlton?
His word says in all things give thanks.
Yeah. His word says in all things give thanks. And we got lots of scriptures. Lots of scriptures about thanksgiving and thanksgiving's place in prayer. In fact, one we studied back several months ago when we were going through Philippians, you know, Paul said that whatever you got going on, you don't have to be anxious, but bring everything to God in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Okay, so thanksgiving is very, very important. But the main reason we should be thankful and express that is because God's been good to us. You know, you got that old saying that's been around forever. Somebody says, God is good. And everybody says, all the time. And all the time, God is good. God has been so good to us. So what are some things that we can or should thank God for? What good things has He done?
Life, health, and strength.
Life, health, and strength. What? Life? Salvation. What else? Forgiveness of sins. What? Loving us? Everything? Even the bad stuff? No. But you know what? The Bible tells us to give Him thanks in the bad stuff, in all circumstances. Maybe not for all circumstances, but in, you know, there's always something to thank God for, right? Even if it's that the fact that it could be worse. Anyway, just joking. Yeah, Dorothy. We thank God for sending Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ for coming so that He could pay the price for our sins. We got so much stuff we can thank God for. And so tonight, as we're looking at God's word and trying to use that as a template on how to better pray according to God's will, as I call this praying with thanksgiving, it's not just make sure you have some thanksgiving in your prayers, which is very, very important. In fact, you may have noticed, and if you haven't, you will now, that whenever I pray, I always start off by thanking God for something. I think of what the psalmist said. I can't remember one of David's psalms or one of the others. He said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, enter his courts with praise. And if you look at biblical prayers, except for David's, Lord, save me, you know, most all of them, even in the midst of crisis and everything else, there is an aspect of thanksgiving and praise, okay? But instead, what I want to challenge you with tonight, and I've said this before, so it may not be new to some of you, is to sometimes spend some time in prayer where all you do is thanking God. Where you don't ask him anything. You just thank him. You just praise him. You just worship him. It can be so helpful. It can build our faith. It can encourage us. And he certainly does deserve that. Now, let me just say this. If you start doing that, and we're going to look at this psalm tonight to help us do that. As you're thanking him for stuff, it may bring up a request in your mind. There's nothing wrong or sinful to go ahead and ask God for that request. Okay? Because he wants us to bring our request to him. But get right back to that thanking God. You know, I knew I was going to be talking about this tonight since last week. And this morning I woke up extra early. I've been doing that a lot more lately. But I woke up probably about 45 minutes before I actually had to get up. And so I'm like, Lord, I wouldn't mind going back to sleep. But if not, that's okay. We'll have a conversation. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and practice what I'm going to teach on tonight. So I just laid there and I just started thanking God, you know. And I knew we were going to look at this psalm, so I thanked him for some stuff in this psalm, and I started thanking him for some other things. And I think I've shared with you before that there have been times I've sat down and said, God, I just want to spend time with you thanking you. And one time I actually set a goal to just thank God for everything I could think of to be thankful for that he had done in my life without repeating myself and see how long. And it was over an hour, hour and a half, just constantly, God kept bringing things back to me, all the way back from when I was a child, things that I was thankful for. Now, I'm not saying you got to start doing this for an hour and a half. I'm just saying doing that gives God the glory, but it's also very, very encouraging when you begin to think, look what God has done, okay? All right, so we're going to be looking at Psalm 103. We're going to read the whole psalm, kind of look at what it says, but we're going to focus primarily on just a couple of verses to help us with this process of learning how to pray, just giving thanks. But I will tell you that you can pray this whole psalm. This is one of my favorite psalms to pray, okay, after meditating on it, okay? So we're going to be looking at it in the first two verses of Psalm 103. We have this personal call to praise. The psalmist is talking to himself. Praise God, okay? He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I want you to notice how he words it. He says, my soul and all that is within me. He's talking about something that's taking place that's not just words because you're supposed to say the right thing. It's not just actions because you're supposed to do the right thing. It's something that's coming from the heart, okay? And it's not half-hearted, okay? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He says, and forget not all his benefits. What is the meaning of benefits? What did you say, Marissa? His favors. What did you say, Carlton?
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah, you know, maybe back when you applied for jobs, you wanted to know not only what you're going to be paid, but you wanted to know what the benefits were, right? The other good stuff you get if you're employed. And so it just means the good stuff. Yeah, all the benefits, all the good things he gives us. So forget not. I like what he says. He says, forget not. You know, God's people, and we can say, yeah, there's people in the Old Testament, but we know we can be guilty too of forgetting God's benefits. You know, if you read in Deuteronomy, I don't have the note sheet, have it on the note sheet, but in Deuteronomy, God says, you know, I'm going to take you into the promised land. And when you get there, you're going to settle in houses you didn't build, have crops you didn't plant. I'm going to bless you and all that kind of stuff. He says, when I do that, don't forget. And what did they do? They forgot. You know, and we've said this many times. God delivers from Egypt, all these plagues, all that kind of stuff. And the people give him a bunch of money, tell him to leave. They cross the Red Sea, which was a difficult thing. And within a couple of days, they're complaining again. They forgot God's goodness. They forgot his power. Not literally, but practically. But we can be just as guilty sometimes too. And that's another benefit of taking the time to thank God as we don't forget to thank and to praise and to worship Him and don't forget His benefits. All right? So those first two verses is like a personal call to praise. And then verses 3 to 5, we have this listing of kind of personal benefits. It's like the psalmist is saying you, but he's talking about you, me as a person. All right? He's saying who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's the passage we're going to come back to in a few minutes and use as a template to pray with thanksgiving. The next section, verses 6 to 19, verses 3 to 5 is kind of like personal blessings. Verses 6 to 19 is kind of like God's blessings on all of His people, okay, like a group type thing. All right, so let's read through that. He says, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel." There's kind of an allusion to the Exodus and God's deliverance of them in that passage there. Verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all." And so we have in this passage where the psalmist switches from you or your, talking about an individual, to this group of people. He says, all people, our, those, we. These are the terms that he's using here. And we see in this passage, he's focusing on God's character. What are some words that he uses in this part of the psalm that describes God's character? Merciful. Gracious. Patient. Slow to anger. It talks about his steadfast love. It talks about his righteousness and his justice and his compassion. And his forgiveness. And it focuses on His goodness to His people. And it also focuses on our response. Why is God so good to us? Is it because we're so good? No. Well, why is God so good to us? We got lots of answers going on. I can't get it. It's part of His, yeah, all the things we just talked about, you know, because of His mercy, because of His grace, because of His character. So does that mean He doesn't care about sin? No, He does care about sin. All right. But yet there is still a responsibility we have. He mentions it in verse 18. It's not the main focus, but it's our response to Him. He says, to those who keep His covenant, remember to do His commandments. And mentioned several times where He says, to those who fear Him. So this is in the context of relationship. It's not in the context of, I have a relationship with God and I'm so good, now He's going to be good to me. But it's in the context of, I have a relationship with God and I've asked Him to work in my life and to forgive me of my sins. And because of His character and His mercy and His grace and His loving kindness and His steadfast, He does do these things for me and for His people. But our response is to fear Him, to have awe and respect, and also to obey Him. All right. Then the psalm finishes up with, you know, it started with individual praise. Now it's finishing with corporate praise of groups of people that are supposed to praise God. Verse 20. "Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." So the psalm starts with the individual praising God and then talking about why. Then it moves to God's people as a group, why they should praise God, and then ends up telling everybody everywhere, including all creation, we need to praise God and thank God. So what I want to spend most of the rest of our time on is personal blessings that we thank God for. Okay, so you're finally going to have something to write on your note sheet. And we're going to go back to verses 3 through 5. Like I said, you can pray through this whole psalm, and I encourage you to do that sometime. But just here in verses 3 to 5, we find many things that we can just sit in God's presence, and we can just thank him. And if you're like me, if you've known the Lord any amount of time, which I think most all of you have, you could probably fill up a whole lot of time thanking him for these things. Okay, so let's take a look at these, all right? First of all, thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Forgiveness. In verse 3, it says, who forgives all your iniquity. Iniquity is one of the words that's used in Bible for sin. And so it says he forgives all your iniquity. How many of our sins does he forgive? All. All. Now, is there any condition for forgiveness? You have to confess. Yeah. Yeah, we have to confess our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, when I said, is there any condition? There's nothing we can do to earn forgiveness. Jesus paid the price for it. But we do need to ask for it. We need to confess our sins. And the Bible talks a lot about repentance. We're not going to reread it, but on your note sheet, I put down Psalm 103, 8 to 12. That's the same chapter. Some of the most beautiful pictures of God's forgiveness. You know, it says as far as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's his, how great his love is. But as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he removes our sins from us. How far is the east from the west? You can go forever to the east and the west, right? Yeah, I mean, you can't do that north and south. You keep going north, you end up going south. But east and west, you can keep on going farther east and, you know, just keep on going and keep on going. You know, there's some other pictures in Scripture too. I think it's Micah that says something like, God puts our sins between our shoulder blades. Or is that the one where it says he throws it in the deepest sea? Anyway, those are two of my favorite pictures, where God puts our sin between his shoulder blades. It's like, can you see what's between your shoulder blades? No, that's what causes trouble in high school when people put signs on your back, you know? You can't see what's better. Now, anyway, and I heard one person say, you know, it says that God casts our sins into the deepest sea, and he puts up a sign that says, no fishing. So, anyway, thank God for his forgiveness, okay? So if we were to pray our way through this psalm, and we get to this part and say, thank you, Lord, for our forgiveness, how could we express that in thanksgiving to God? What would we thank him for? Besides just the general topic of forgiveness, under that topic, what would we thank him for? There's a bunch of them right there. Thank you for sending Jesus to provide for our salvation. You know? So that's in this category. What else would we pray? And she said more than that, but I can't remember it all and repeat it also. Vita? Okay, so faith has a part to play in asking for forgiveness. So Lord, thank you for giving us the faith to ask. Vita? Yeah, thank you, Lord, for your thoughtfulness to even be willing to offer forgiveness. Yeah. You know, the ultimate is that fits in is thank you for salvation, which everything everybody said so far points to that. But we could also say thank, you know, give him thanks for forgiveness for specific sins. And we should, you know, if something's, you know, we've messed up somehow or whatever, and we ask him to forgive us, we know he's been forgiven, and we can thank him, Lord, well, I thank you that you promise. We can thank him for his promise for forgiveness. You've promised if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. You know, I thank you that when I messed up, you know, I would do this and thank you. And yeah, Catherine. Yeah, thank the Lord for restoring our relationship with him. Because it's not just forgiveness like, okay, I forgive you and I don't want to see you anymore. You know, like we might want to feel sometimes for other people when they've hurt us. Yeah, I'll forgive you, but don't come around anymore. You know, that's not the way it is with God. I'm not saying that's the way it should be with us either. But I'm just saying it's not like that because God not only forgives us, he restores the relationship. So even though it's just this general category of forgiveness, there's a lot of different ways that we can express that to him. And if we look back on our lives, not that we want to dwell on major, big, bad stuff in our life. But, you know, we all have a different testimony. You know, someone might would say, Lord, thank you so much for forgiving me of the drug abuse I was involved in, Lord. Thank you so much for being, for the terribly immoral life I lived before I came to know you. Whatever, you know, would be true of you, you know. All that could be underneath that category of thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Second one is thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Second part of verse 3, who says, who heals all your diseases. Now, there's an elephant in the room there. Do you all know what that saying means? Is there something really big and obvious here that causes a problem? It says, who heals all your diseases. How can we say that God heals all our diseases? When we got people in this room that you're sick or you've got physical problems or whatever, maybe you've had them for a while, and is God's word lying here? He does have the ability to, but it doesn't say, Lord, thank you because you have the ability to heal. It says he heals all your... So in what way does God heal all our diseases? Jeff? All right, that's a great testimony of healing, even though on the outside it might look like it's not a complete healing. Chris, I saw your hand next. Yeah, the scripture teaches that our healing has been paid for by what Jesus did on the cross. Okay, so it's not just the forgiveness of our sins, but the healing. So there's the basic foundation of it. But then again, good thoughts. I got something I'll share with you. We can't take a lot of comments or we'll never get done. But Carlton, what would you want to say about this?
I think it's easy for us to...
That's right. Our healing is tied to eternity. All right. So let me just, I know we're probably going to take a lot more comments, but we got to get on here. So when it says who heals all your diseases, God has taken care of all of our physical problems through the death on the cross. Okay. And God still heals today. By the way, I'm not one of those who say, well, God used to do it back then, but he doesn't really do it now, but we'll just wait till eternity. You know, we pray for healing, but God has different plans and purposes for each person, and that healing may be at different times. But here's the thing. God has taken care of all of our healing. The question is, when are we going to receive it? Okay. Some of that has to do with faith. I'm only saying some of it because there's some wacky teaching out there that's saying that if you're a believer and you need healing, and if you're praying about it and you're not getting it, you don't have enough faith or there must be sin in your life. And that's not necessarily true. Could be partly true. You need to examine your heart. Paul dealt with some things. You know, there are some people that he traveled with him that had some physical problems. And it didn't say that Paul prayed for them, they were healed. It said they still had the physical problems, you know. But the thing is we will all be healed of everything forever. Okay? I mean, God didn't have to do that. We could have lived our lives full of sickness and disease and died that way and gone to hell. But Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for our healing. I heard an evangelist one time, he spoke here actually, long, long, long time ago. Him and his wife came to speak at a conference. And he said exactly that God's already taken care of our healing. The question is when we're going to get it. And again, some of it has to do with faith and all that kind of stuff, but some of it's just God's timing. And in God's timing, we pray about it. We may get our healing immediately. We may get it tomorrow. We may get it next week. We may get it next year. We may get it when we leave this life and go to heaven, but it's a guaranteed. Okay? So we're going to leave it at that. We could dig deeply into that, but we're going to leave it at that. So, but the thing is that sooner or later, we will be completely healed forever. Now, the word for healing here is not just physical stuff, just so you're aware of that, okay? It can include the spiritual and other consequences of sin. It can talk about the restoring of our moral and spiritual health and our life. So there's so many things that we could express as we're praying this through and we get to this part, right? Thank you, Lord, that you heal me. We could have specific healings that we've experienced. You know, the testimony Jeff gave, there's a whole lot of things he could thank God for about that. We could thank God for emotional healing. We can thank God for relational healing. We can thank God that, hey, God, I'm still dealing with stuff right now, but I thank you that I will not deal with this forever because you paid for it. You know, I mean, there's just so many things that we can thank God for in that category. So let's go on to the next one, number 3. Thank you, Lord, for redemption from death. Verse 4, he says, he redeems your life from the pit. Now, this doesn't mean that we're going to live forever in this body. It means that God has redeemed our life from spiritual death. Okay? He's removed the sentence of death that we had because of our sins. I like the word redeem. It says redemption. It implies there's a cost. There's a risk. Jesus paid the price. All right. In the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, before he does that, he's talking to Lazarus's sisters. And he says in John 11, 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So Thank you, Lord, you redeemed me from death. Now, I know that there's a lot of overlap here because this involves salvation. Thank you, Lord, you saved me. I thank you, Lord, that you've redeemed me from hell, you know, from death. Death will not have a permanent hold on me, you know. And there's just so many things, again, that we could express in thanksgiving to God in this area. Again, thanks for salvation. Thanks for deliverance from hell. Thank you for eternal life. And all that that's going to mean. And we could also say, Lord, thank you that I can know that for sure. It's been said, and I think it's true. I've never heard have somebody tell me otherwise, that there's no other religious system that guarantees you're going to heaven. You won't find out till you get there. You just got to try hard, hoping you're going to make it. Whereas in Christianity, it's not about how hard we try. We're putting our trust in Christ. So we can know, we have that assurance of our salvation. So again, that's part of this too. Lord, I thank you that I can know that I'm going to heaven, that death's not the end, you know? All right, number four. Thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy. That's the second half of verse four where it says, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. In other words, God doesn't just forgive us. He doesn't just deliver us. As Catherine said earlier, he restores our relationship. But he does so much more for us. I've said many times, because I've heard other people say it, that if God never did anything else for me the rest of my life, I still have so much to praise him for. If God never did anything for me except for forgive me of my sins, I have so much to praise him for. But he does so much more because of his love and mercy. I think of the story of the prodigal son. When he came back, the father not only forgave him, okay, but he restored him to his place as son, okay? All right. Now, he lost a lot in the process. There's always consequences to sin. All right. But in this area of prayer, we could thank God for all the things he's done for us that we don't deserve. Because that's what mercy is all about, right? And we can make a long list of all the things God's done for us that we don't deserve. Number five. I'm trying to get done here so we can actually practice this before we leave. Thank you, Lord, for satisfying with good things. A little bit of overlap here with the one before, but in verse 5 where it says, who satisfies you with good. You know, people in this world try to search for satisfaction in so many ways. And they may get some kind of satisfaction or happiness, or they may even call it joy for a short time, but the things of this world can never truly satisfy. When we trust in God, he gives us those things, those good things that truly satisfy. God abundantly satisfies us with good things. All right. So as we talk about praying through this, this would be a good time to just start making a list of all the good things that God has given us. Let's take a half a minute. What are some of the good things we can thank God that he's given us? Okay. Life. Is that all the good stuff you guys got in your lives? Family. Linda. You can say family. Yeah. Brandy. Your children, family, yeah. Family's a big one, right? The air we breathe, yeah. Peace of mind. He renews our mind. He's at work in our life. I mean, there's so many things that we could list. Good things that God's done for us, okay? Good things he's done for us. And those things that bring satisfaction. You know, there's something about being able to lay down at night and have peace, no matter what's going on around you, because you know you're in relationship with God, he's going to take care of you. I mean, you can just throw so many things in. The last one, number six, thank you, Lord, for strength. Thank you, Lord, for strength. The end of verse 5, he says, he satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, we would like that one to be literal. That we're all getting younger and stronger, okay? But that's not exactly what it's talking about. The eagle is a symbol of unfailing strength. And basically, it's saying that as we trust in the Lord, that God gives us the strength that we need. I think I may have forgot to put on your note sheet. If I did, write down Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah said, God said through Isaiah, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, this is primarily spiritual, but you know, sometimes God gives me physical strength. I've got things I got to do. I'm tired, and he just helps me to go through. And we got spiritual strength. We got other kinds of strength we need in dealing with problems, emotional strength. And so here, as we're praying through this, there's so much we could pray about strength, the strength that God has given us. We could think of certain circumstances in our life where we didn't think we were going to make it, and God gave us strength. you know, or just in general, Lord, I thank you for your promise for strength. And you may be facing something right now. It's like, I don't know how to do this. Lord, I thank you that you promise strength. And we can throw Philippians in there. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All right? All right. Now, we got to remember, this is in the Old Testament, Psalm 103. But for us who live on this side of the cross, all this stuff is provided because of Jesus Christ. I didn't get this on your note sheet because I thought of it after I printed them. So this is the last thing you can write down there. Write down Titus 3, 3 to 7. And this is what Paul says in Titus 3, 3 to 7. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. And when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So the point is, God has been so good to us, and we need to make sure that we express it to him. Every prayer we pray, we need to have some time of thanksgiving. As I said, my challenge tonight is to spend some time in prayer where that's all you do. So as we've been doing, we got 7 minutes left. So we're going to take the next 5 minutes, and I want to encourage you to work your way through this psalm from the beginning and just spend that time thanking God. Let him make it really personal in your own life. What are some things that you can just spend the next 5 minutes thanking God for what he's done for us? And you can use this as kind of an outline or a template to help you do that. Okay? So I'll be back in 5 minutes. All right, 5 minutes is over. Probably too short for a lot of you. But I encourage you to put this into practice on a regular basis. Again, the thanksgiving is a very important part of every prayer you pray. But that you regularly have times that you say, God, I got a lot of stuff going on, but I just want to spend some time just thanking you today. All right, well, it's time for us to go just about. I'm going to close in prayer. Many times when we have a little bit more time, we get into groups to pray. You don't have to do that. But if you want somebody to pray with you, I encourage you to do that before you leave. But anyway, Father, thank you for this time that we've had to look at Psalm 103 and this exhortation to just bless the Lord, my soul, to praise you, to worship you, and to thank you for all the many ways in which you've blessed us, Lord God, so far and above what we deserve. God, help us to be thankful people. Help us to not only be grateful you've done things, but to express that back to you abundantly, Lord God. I pray to Lord God that you just bring to our mind, Lord God, all the things that you've done for us, and that we would have that attitude of gratitude, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your presence with us tonight and the work that you're doing in our lives. And God, we just give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marianoaksag.org.